Good morning. Thank you all very much for coming here. Ellie, can you set up the camera? Maybe just stand it up against the Talisman. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, thank you all very much for coming. Today's daf is daf Chaf Ches. Let's start again in Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. We're discussing non-Eruvin topics today. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about Eruvin Tchumin, but not the topics of Eruve Chatzeros or Shetufim Mavuos. So we were on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. Again, there's a discussion in the Mishnah about the fact that water and salt are not considered foods that fill a person up. They're not mazon. They're not satiating foods. So the Gemara, the Mishnah said that applies to a series of halachos. If you wanted to make a Eruv Tchumen, that is to put aside food on Friday so that as Shabbos begins, there's two meals worth of food for you at a certain location. So that makes that location your center, and you have 2,000 amos from that location to walk in each direction. You can't use water and salt. You could use other foods. You could use bread. You could use vegetables, but you couldn't use water and salt. If a person made a neder not to eat mazon, he would still be allowed to have water and salt. And in regards to the money of Maaser Sheni monies that have the holiness of Maaser Sheni are brought up to Yerushalayim and eaten there in a state of purity. Again, you have to use the money for food, but you can't use the money to buy water and salt. So let's start here on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, second to the last thin line. The Gemara says, "B'maykam iflugi Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish v'Rabbi Elazar v'hani tanoi dila kaman." What is Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Elazar, that's on one side, versus the Tanoim of later, namely the two brises of later, arguing about? So we know that this is an argument whether you can redeem the money of Maaser Sheni onto fish. So they, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Belezer, who both feel you can take money of Maaser Sheni and buy fish with it, they are darshaning the psukim through the methodology of ribui, miut, viribui. Bani Tanai, whereas the Tanaim later, and the two brisos, are darshaning through klali, prati, uklali. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Belezer darshi ribui, miut. So on one hand, you have a pasuk in regards to the money of Maaser Sheni. The Torah says you can put the money into whatever your soul desires. You can take the money of Maaser Sheni and use it to buy whatever you desire. So if you can use it for whatever you want, you desire, Reba, that would include everything. Then the verse goes on to detail. You can use it for cattle, for sheep, for wine, or for beer. So miyet, that's excluding. That's not everything. It's only certain things. Only these things, nothing else. Then when it says again, a third pasuk of achal asher tishal chanav shecha, whatever your soul desires, chazav ariba, and you have another inclusion. So the answer, so when you have a methodology, when you have this type of a setup, it's riba, umiyet, viriba. So it's very inclusive, then somewhat less inclusive, and then again, very inclusive. So riba, kol, ultimately it's including almost everything. So my rabbi, what is it including? Rabbi Kolmi, you can use any type of food to transfer the holiness of Maaser Sheni into it, in Yerushalayim. Umay miyetz, what are the few things that are excluded? Rabbi Elazar miyetzir, according to Rabbi Elazar, it only excludes fish brine. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish says, not only fish brine, but even mayim umelach. It's excluding salty water. Bani Tanai, whereas the later Tanayim, that we're about to see who they are. They are darshi klali uprati. They are darshening through klal uprat. The tanya we learned in a brisa. Again, verse says, "V'nasata kasev b'chol asher tavan avshacha." You can take the money of Maaser Sheni and invest it in whatever your soul desires. That's klal. That would sound like all types of many types of foods. I should say many types of foods. Then it says, "Babakov ratzona v'ayin v'ashechar." You can use the money of Maaser Sheni for cattle, for sheep, for wine, and for beer. Prat. That's excluding. A lot of foods are excluded. Then it says again, whatever your soul asks of you, you can use the money for. That's again another inclusion. So klal u pratu klal, when you have an inclusion, you have a detail, and you have another inclusion, You have to done al kena prat. So now you're including things that are like that detail. Ma prat mafurash, primi privi gedule karka. The details, whether it be bakar, tzon, yayin, and shechar, these are things that grow from fruits, right? You have a cow from another cow. You have wine from grapes. And they all grow off of the ground. Even the animals grow off of the ground. They eat the grass in the ground. So to any other fruit that comes from another fruit and it grows off of the ground, that's one brisa. So that would seemingly exclude fish. We'll see, maybe it doesn't exclude fish, but seemingly it would exclude fish because fish don't grow off of the ground, maybe. But Tanidach went to another brisa. Ma prat mafurish blad vlados, just like these details. Bakar, tzon, yain, and shechar. These are things that come from other such things, right? So the cattle come from other cattle. And ultimately, they are from the earth. They are vlad, vlados, arets. They are the derivatives of that which ultimately was derived from the earth. That these things, let's say the plants. First Hashem made the earth, and out of the earth, He made the plants. Or the animals. Hashem first made the earth, and then from He made some mud of the earth. He made some, out of the dust, He made animals. Af kol vlad vlados haaretz. So to all things that come ultimately from the earth. My benai, what's the difference between these two brisos? Whether you talk about that which is gedulei karka or vlados haaretz, or the derivatives of the earth. Amar Abaya, Abaya proposes dag mikum benai. Maybe the difference between them is fish. Amadam primi primi gedulei karka. The one who says that the common denominator of bakar tzon yain and shechar, the common denominator of what the Torah explicitly mentions, you can use the money of Maaseh Sheni for the common denominator of cattle, sheep, wine and beer, that these are things that come from fruits, and these things get their nourishment from the ground. Hani dagim, so fish, gedulei karkaninu. They also come from the ground. They also derive their nourishment from the ground. As Rashi points out, because you have all sorts of, algae and other things growing on the seabed, and the fish eat those things. Lamadam of vlad, vlados haaretz, but if you're going to say that it's a derivative of earth, dagmi mai ivruth. Fish were not created from the earth. The fish were created from the water, and therefore, fish are not included. Yeah, question.
When they talk about pull up. Food, are they talking about cooked food or raw food?
Both. But we're going to get into that a lot today. We're going to see. It has to be somewhat edible, but we'll get into that. Okay. Right? Let's assume. For Maaseh Sheni, you can buy raw food too. For which we're talking about right now, in regards to Eruv Tchumin, we're going to see it has to be somewhat edible. But for Maaseh Sheni, you can buy raw food also at the Maaseh Sheni.
But when you put the 2,000 amos from each other, is that a cooked food or raw food?
It's going to have to be somewhat edible. If it's totally raw, let's say a raw thing that's not edible, then not. But a lot of raw things are edible. People will eat tuna tartare, steak tartare. So it has to be somewhat edible. It can't be inedible. If it's inedible, then it won't work.
So if they take water and salt and they put the piece of meat in it and put them over there, 2,000 amos, is that a food?
It depends if it's edible, as we're going to see today. Is it edible? Is it meat that's edible
but
raw?
It's not cooked. It's just
well, would people meat. Would some people eat it? Would some people eat it? If no one would eat it, then not. But if some people would eat it, then yes. So, Madam, right. However, according to the opinion that says you can only use things that are vlad vlados haaretz, so that wouldn't include fish because dagim imaya ivru, the fish were created from the water. Ask Gemara, mi amar Abaya dagim do the karkanin. Even according to the first opinion, would you really be able to say that fish are included in that which grows off of the ground? Amar Abaya, didn't Abaya say? Now starting today's daf, chavches. Achol putisa. This is a famous Gemara in Masech Damakos. The Gemara says there's certain things. You do that one act and you get many, many times lashes. So one of those things is eating a putisa. A putisa is a little sea creature which is called sheretz hamayim. It's some type of sea urchin. So if a person eats a putisa, loka arba, he gets four sets of lashes. So one of them is because it's called sheretz hamayim. Namala, if he eats an ant, loka chamish, he gets five sets of lashes because that's not only sheretz hamayim, that's also called sheretz haaretz, a creeping crawler on the earth. Now, tzira, if a person eats a hornet, loka shesh, he gets six set of lashes. Now, if you're going to tell me that whatever grows in the water really is growing from the earth, so then putisa should also be called sheretz aretz. And putisa nami lo kimishum hasheretz hasheretz al aretz. So therefore, you see that what grows in the water does not derive from the earth. So therefore, according to both brisos, fish cannot be what you use your money of ma'aser sheni to buy. Elam Ravina, so therefore Ravina said, Ophos iko benayu. The difference in the two brisos is in regards to birds. According to the first brisa, you can use the money of ma'aser sheni to buy things that come from fruits and things that grow off of the ground. The birds also grow off of the ground because they eat seeds, and the seeds ultimately grow in the ground. But according to the one who says that you eat those things that are derivatives from earth, haniofos, the birds are not derivatives of earth. They were not. Earth was not their source in the act of creation. The birds, they were created from the mud. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Mandamar bi ofos my timing. In these two brisos, what's the reason of the one who includes birds? And you can use the money of Ma'aser Sheni to buy birds, brisa number one. What's the reasoning of the one who excludes birds and says you can only use the money of Ma'aser Sheni to buy fish, You can't use it to buy fish, you can't use it to buy birds, use it to buy animals, creatures, but not the birds. It says the Gemara, Mandamar bi ofos kasavar klala basra dafka. So when you have, as is explained in the footnotes here, we say every day Rabbi Shmuel's 13 ways of interpreting a Torah text. So one way is klal uprat. You have a generalization, and then you have a detail. So when you have a generalization and then a detail, the detail shrinks down the generalization into just this detail. Ein baklal ela mashe beprat. If you have a detail and then a generalization, prat to klal, then really you're including everything, just excluding one little thing. So the question is, when you have klal upratu klal, generalization, detail, and then generalization, is it that it's really mostly generalization and then detail, so that mostly you're limiting? Or is it mostly detail and then generalization, and then mostly you're including? So that's the argument. Ma demar bi ofos, the one who's including birds, kasavar holds, kol abasra dafka. The main thing when you have a generalization, detail, and then a generalization, is really the final generalization. So it's really detail and then generalization. So prat uklal, it's really what you have is a detail and then a generalization. So nasa klal mosav ala prat. So then the generalization is including many things beyond the detail. Visrabluhu kol mili. So then all things are being included. Vahani klala kama. So now the fact that there was really a generalization before this detail is just to say lemute kol dolo dami lemishnei tzadim. To exclude those things that are not similar to the details in two ways. However, the one who excludes birds, kasavar holds klala kama dafka. The main thing was the first generalization. So really what you have here is klal and then a prat. So in b'chlal ol mashav a prat, then the generalization is shrunken down to just this detail. So really, hani in midyach v'nilo, really it should have been just bakar, tzon, yain, and shechar that you can use money of Ma'aser Sheni for it, nothing else. Then you have the final generalization, the Rebuye called the Dami Lemishlal Shatzdadim, to include anything which is similar in three ways. So it can't be just similar in two ways. It has to be similar in three ways. So it has to be, number one, that it is from another thing, right? It's primi-pri. It has to be, number two, something which is deriving its nourishment from the ground. And number three, it itself has to have been created from earth back in the Maisa Bereshis, and not that it was created from mud. Okay, that concludes the discussion about using money of Ma'aser Sheni for other things, right? When you have the money of Ma'aser Sheni, you bring it up to Yerushalayim, now you want to buy food with it. What type of foods can you buy with it? And now we get into the issues that Baruch was bringing up before, and now we go back to the issue of Eruv Etzchumen. When you take food and you put it away from where you are located now, to establish that spot as where you're going to now have 2,000 amos from in each direction from that spot, what type of food can you put down? So the Mishnah said you can put all types of food down except for water and salt. The logic of the food is that where I put my food, that's really where I am. So even though I'm not there, but my food is there. So it's a demonstrative act. It's a big act of showing that I'm really there. Even though I'm not there, it looks like I'm there. I'm showing the world that that's sort of my spot. So to show the world that that's my spot, it's got to be food that's accessible to me. You know, if I can't get to that food for some other reason, then also it's not really showing the world that that's my spot. Yeah, I'll give an example. Let's say I put down a bunch of vegetables that are infested with bugs, you know, and it's impossible to clean them out of the bugs. You know, there's some huge amount of bugs in the broccoli there, and it's impossible to clean it on Shabbos. It's not going to work for me, because I can't say that's my spot, that's my food, I can't eat it. So it's got to be something that I could, in theory, eat, or somebody could eat. I could serve it to my guest. I could put down truma, we said, even though I'm a non-Kohen, because I can invite a Kohen to eat it. But it'd have to be something that's somewhat edible, something which is not edible at all. That's not going to work, even if halachically it's not edible.
Rabbi, do you actually have to eat it?
No. But it has to be food which, in theory, is edible to you, to your guest, but something which is not edible, that not. So now we're going to talk about all sorts of different foods. What's edible, what's not edible, what Baruch is bringing up. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Mishmei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Mishmei Rav, the name of Rav. Ma'arvin be'papuin. You can put down as an Eruv, papuin. What's papuin? Do they have a palm?
Coriander.
No, chalak lugos is coriander.
It's a type of herb which is
unknown. Unknown herb. Chalak lugos, that's coriander. And then good gadanios.
Purslane.
Papuin. So what's good chalak lugos, I think, is coriander. Oh, good God, you know, this coriander and chalak lugot is
purslane
and papuin. We don't know. Okay, so you can use. So these are herbs. That's again an interesting point, right? You're putting down a spice. You might think that if you put down spice, it doesn't look like you put down your meal. You put down a spice; it's a condiment. No, that's also considered that you set up where your food is. Avloba chaziz, but you can't use raw grain. So chaziz is wheat that hasn't yet ripened. It hasn't yet reached the third. Lobik kfanios, you can't use kfanios is raw dates. Right? So again, five things. You can use papuin, you can use halagrugos, you could use good ganios, which is coriander. You can't use though raw grain, and you can't use raw dates. Ask the Gemara, but good God, then he my Arvin. Could you even make an Eruv with coriander? Well, Tanya didn't learn a Brisa. Coriander impacts the virility of a person's semen. So therefore, within a Brisa, good God, is to eat coriander, merube banim yochlu. Someone who already had a lot of kids, and he wants to reduce how much urge he has, so such a man can eat coriander. Chashuchei banim, but someone who doesn't have children yet, well, yochlu shouldn't eat coriander, because he has a mitzvah puravu. In hukshu lezera, and if the coriander got very hard, so after the seeds ripened, afrubi banim lo yochlu, then even those who have a lot of kids should not be eating them. So how could you put out coriander? It's not something you'd want people to eat. As the Gemara Tirgma Ashlo hukshu lezera, we're talking about raw coriander that hasn't yet gotten so hard. It hasn't ripened so much. Hasn't ripened enough for the seeds to be hard in it. Umrubi banim, and it's for a person who already has a lot of kids, so he's allowed to eat these things. By the same alternative, even if it's a person who doesn't have kids, who we tell him he's not supposed to eat coriander. Nevertheless, he can put the food down, because those people who already had a lot of kids can eat the coriander, even though it's going to reduce the strength of the semen. Because milotznan, they don't learn our Mishnah. Ma'arvan lenazir b'yayin, a nazir can put down wine. And that could be his Eruv Tzchumin, because even though he can't drink it, his guests can drink it. Yisrael b'truma, Yisrael can put down truma, because even though, again, he's not going to eat it, a Kohen can eat it.
And he can't even smell it, the wine.
Right, that's right.
How could he touch it? I don't know.
He can't touch it, but he can tell a guest, go eat it.
Now, what happens when they put the food there and the guy walks 2,000 amos, and he goes there and the animal ate the food?
Ah.
stay right there
yeah, he might. Yeah, we're gonna get to that, but absolutely, yeah.
Kohen cannot touch a bottle of wine.
Nazir, no, as Aruch points out, he's not allowed to.
Because of the smell? Because
it might lead him to drink. Yeah. It might lead him to drink. Midrabban is not allowed to. Almost, you see, Avagadlo Chazilahai, even though it's not really fit for the person who's putting it down, Chazilahai, it's fit for others. Achanami, so the same thing can be here with the coriander. Avagadlo Chazilahai, even if it's not a fit for this one, Chazilahai, it's a fit for somebody else. Moshe can tell you, he come a Rav. When did Rav say that you could put down as your Eruv Tumim coriander? Behind the Kukuki Madoi, the coriander of India, which is, I guess, a lighter coriander. It doesn't harm a person's virility, so therefore it's edible. And since it's edible, certainly everybody would agree you could put it down as your Eruv Tumim. Right, next topic was Chaziz. The Braisa said, not the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said you can't use raw grain. Because this low, is it true that you can't use raw grain to set as your spot for your Eruv Tumim? I've Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rab. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say the name of Rab? Kshos, hops, the chaziz, and raw grain, ma'arvin behen, you can make with them an Eruv Tumim. Amar Baruch Halein, Bar Pi Adama. And the bracha on them is Bar Pi Adama. So Gemara says, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Hamikami to us Rav LeBavel. One was before Rav came to Babel. All of us to us Rav LeBavel. And one is after Rav came to Babel. So before Rav came to Babel, he thought that nobody eats raw grain. He came to Babel. He came to Persia. He saw that people eat raw grain. He said, oh, you can use raw grain for your Eruv Tchumen. He says, my ass is Babel have Eruv Alma? Is Babel the majority of the world? So in Babel, they eat raw grain, but no one else does. So why should it be able to be considered an edible food? Tanya, furthermore, didn't we learn in Braisa? Hapul, beans, vasaora, and barley, vatilton, fenugreek. Fenugreek is leeks. Shazaran, if you plant them liyarek for their vegetable. But ladaitates a kol adam. That's not what most people think. People are only thinking about their seeds and not thinking about the vegetable. Avichach, therefore, zaron chayet. Their seed. Seeds that grow in these things, that's chayiv in meiser, but the yarka, but their vegetables are pachit. That is exempt from meiser. Shchalim, kress, vagargir. How do they translate gargir?
Garden rocket.
Garden, what?
Garden rocket.
Garden rocket. Okay, don't know what that is. A garden rocket. Shazaran liyarek, if they plant them for their vegetable, masasin yarek, that's normal. So then the vegetable that grows out of them is obligated in meiser to take meiser from it. However, Zerek Vizera, then you take out of them Meiser, both for the from the vegetable and from the seed. And Zeron Lazera, even if you planted it for the seed, Misasim Zerek Vizera, then both the seed and the vegetable can have, you take Meiser from them. So, again, so is this the majority of the world? You know, so you don't see, things are determined by what most people in the world do, right? Most people eat the seeds of the tiltum, not the vegetable of the tiltum. So even though this guy thinks differently, it doesn't matter. So therefore, wise Rav, once he comes to Bavel, changing the rules about the raw grain, if most people in the world don't eat raw grain, raw grain should still not be considered a food, to be able to make it, to have it created Eruv Tchumen. So my answer is, Kikam Rav, when Rav said you could use raw grain to make an Eruv Tchumen, now turning to Chafkas and Beis, B'diginun Yaisa. He's referring to raw grain that grew in a garden. It's a raw grain that grew in a garden that everybody would eat, and therefore you can use it for Eruv Tchumen.
Rabbi, they can't give the cash, whatever they send exactly to the penny to... For
Master Sheni
or to
Beit HaMikdash
or whatever.
No, Master Sheni has to be turned into food that they have to eat.
It has to be food.
Yeah. In the wall of Yerushalayim in a state of purity.
Okay. I mean, you know, maybe whoever is receiving that donation maybe needs more cash than the food.
$2,000
No, but Master Sheni is
but
not.
You can't touch it there when you get there. Shabbat, you see? That's the problem.
That's your home. You know,
that's not your home.
That's not your home.
It will be your home, but it's not yet.
No, the mitzvah of Ma'aseh Sheni is to eat food in a state of purity. Okay, now talking about on a side topic, Zera Gargir, the seed of Gargir, of this garden rocket, Lamai Chazi, why is it obligated in Maisros? I mean, what are you going to use it for? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan said, Shekein Rishonim, the earlier generations, they used it as a black pepper. Shlohelem Pilplin, they didn't have pepper. Shofkin Oso, they used to grind it up. And they would dip in it the things that they were roasting. So therefore, it was considered a food. All right, Reb Zeira, ki avachalish migirsa. When Reb Zeira was tired after all of his hard learning, he would go and stand at, or sit, at the entrance to the yeshiva of Reb Yehuda Bar Ami, to at least, Amar, he said, listen, I'm too tired to learn right now. But when the rabbis will go out and come in, I'll get up in their presence, and that way I'll get reward. So Nafak, he went out, and actually a young student came out of the yeshiva. Amalei, so Reb Zeira couldn't control himself. He said, listen, I'm really here to stand up for the Talmid HaChachamim, but I need to hear some learning. My Agmar Rabach, what did your teacher teach you today? So Amalei, so the student said to him, the teacher taught the following. Shows the bracha on haps is borei pri adama, and the bracha on chaziz, on raw grain, grain that hasn't yet reached the third, it's green grain, shakul niya b'dvar. Amalei, so Zera said, one second, I'll drop the opposite. Ipcha mesarva, the opposite makes more sense. Hai me'ara kamarbi. The raw grain is still growing off of the earth. It's getting bigger from the earth. So it should be a bracha borei pri adama. Hai, the hops, me'avir kamarbi. They're actually growing on the branches of these thorns. They're really growing off of the air. So that should be shakol niyabidvaro, like mushrooms or shakol niyabidvaro. However, vilchasak yinuka de beirat, the halacha is like this student. My time, why? Hai gemar pei, the haps are considered a completed item. And once it's completed, you can say borei pri ha'adama. V'hai, whereas the raw grain, lav gemar pei, it's not a completed fruit. So it's therefore just shakol niyabidvaro. You can't say the word pri ha'adama, the fruit of the ground. Umay the comment. Now this that you argued, hai ma'ara karabi, that the raw grain is growing off of the earth, hai ma'avir karabi, whereas the hops are growing off of the air, though it's not true, shos nami ma'ara karabi, the hops really are growing from the earth, k'taka chazin, because we see, t'katlin le lehizmi, when you cut down the thorns, umay sekshuta, then the hops dry up. So you see that once they're cut off from the earth as being the source of their nourishment, they dry up, so therefore it is appropriate to say about them, borei pri ha'adama. All right, going back now to the issues of what you can use to create an eruv tchumen, to put down and to establish your spot. So we said you can't use raw grain, and we said you can't use raw dates. Uvachvanios, you can't use raw grains, raw dates. Uvachvanios, say, Ma'arvin, can you not create an eruv tchumen with raw dates? By the time, didn't we learn about kor? Kor is hearts of palm. So we're going to write hearts of palm. That's as the palm tree is growing, the bark, not the bark, the trunk, the new branches are very soft. You can peel off the bark and eat that branch. If you just leave it there, it's going to become wood. You're not going to be able to eat it anymore. So we know that kor, hearts of palm, nikach bekesef meiser. You're allowed to use meiser sheni monies to buy it because it's considered something that grows from the ground. However, in matami tumas ochlin, if some dead rodent were to touch it, it would not become tamei, because it's not considered a food, it's considered a wood. Kfanios, raw dates, nikos pekesef meiser, that you can buy them with money of meiser sheni, umetamos tumas ochlin, and they're foods, they can become tamei if a dead rodent touches them. Rabbi Yudom Ruda says, kor, when you talk about hearts of palm, areo keitz l'choldvar, if it's totally wood, elish nikos pekesef meiser, but you can use it, you can use meiser sheni monies to buy it. Kfanios, and raw dates are in Kapila Choldevarim, they're fruits. Ela Shapturas Ben HaMaiser, except they're exempt from Maiser because they are not completed. They're not a finished fruit yet. Now, the Brisa says that Kfanios can become Tamei Tumas Ochlin. So that means that it's a food. So if it's a food, so then you should be able to use it for a Rubei Tchumen. So it depends on what type of raw dates. Hasam Bidin Ischani. There we're talking about raw dates from the male date trees. And the male date trees, they don't produce, you know, fully ripened dates. So therefore, the raw dates are also considered foods. They can become tame. They could also, in fact, be used for eruv tzumin. When Rav said that the raw dates cannot be used for eruv tzumin, he was referring to the raw dates on the female trees. It hasn't yet fully grown. It can certainly grow further. So since it can grow further, this is not yet considered a fruit. It's not edible yet, and therefore you can't use it for eruv tzumin.
As
male and female date trees, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Baruch, that question. The receiver of Master Sheni, when he gets the food, let's say he doesn't need the food, can he turn it into cash for himself?
Master Sheni is not given to the poor. The owner of the field eats the Master Sheni in Yerushalayim.
I understand, but he has to give 10% to the you know,
ladies,
am I right? Or,
no, when he has a field, let's say he has a date orchard.
Okay.
So he picks all the dates. He
right.
makes a pile of all the dates.
Correct.
First he takes 2% of the crop and gives it to the Kohanim, that's Truma. Then out of what's left, he takes 10% and gives it to the Levian. Out of what's left after that, he takes 10% and he sets it aside. He says, this is my Sushani. It has to go up to Yerushalayim. Now it's a schlep to bring it to Yerushalayim. So he can say, I don't want to bring all these dates. They're going to get ruined by the time I get them to Yerushalayim. I'm going to turn it into money. So he takes money equal to this, you know, either equal to the amount, or even less. And he can say, oh, the holiness of the Maaser Sheni is now in the coins. And he takes the coins in a bundle. He goes up to Yerushalayim. And now he has to put the coins back into food. So he puts the coins back into food. It has to be a real food. It can't be something which isn't really a food. It can't be raw dates. Or, you know, maybe raw dates, yes, but can't be raw grain. It has to be a real food. So that's what we're discussing. But he's going to eat it himself.
He could eat it himself, but he has to give the cash.
He has to use the cash to buy food. The question is, what type of food can he buy with his cash?
I understand, but when he goes to Yerushalayim, buys that food goes to Beit HaMikdash, no?
No, he has to eat it in Yerushalayim while pure.
Oh, he has to eat it himself.
Yeah, if you want. I mean, if he has a lot, he can share.
He can give it up to Beit HaMikdash.
Right, he can use it for a Kiddush, that's true. What's that? What's the question, Baruch? He doesn't go to Beit HaMikdash with it, no. No, he doesn't go to Beit HaMikdash with it.
He can do the same thing if there is no Kohanim around the town where his plantation is. The 2%, can he turn it into cash and give them cash?
No, he has to give it to the Kohanim.
The same food.
The food has to be given to the Kohanim, yes.
Okay, no conversion.
No conversion, exactly.
Why is it specifically raw dates? Is that an example for everything else that's raw, like figs and other fruits?
No, apparently just with dates. No, figs, it depends on whether it's edible or not. So Ihachi says the Gemara, if that's the case, if this Bryce is talking about the dates of the raw dates of the male date trees. So therefore, even when they're raw, they're also edible. So if that's the case, Baha'u'llah, Rabbi Yehuda, Pturus, and a Meiser. Why is Rabbi Yehuda saying that it's Pater from Meiser? By the time they didn't learn a Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda says, those grew Page by Tiyuni. We only speak about the raw figs that weren't ripened from Bituni, Elini Meiser Bovat, only in regards to Meiser. And we're saying about them, Page Bituni, these figs from Bituni, that are raw, and aheni de tuvini, and the raw dates from tuvina, chayavim b'maiser, they're obligated in maiser, because that's already considered their full ripening. So even though they're not really ripe, that's as much as these trees are going to produce. So you see, the Rebbe Yehuda agrees that when you have date trees that are not going to produce fully ripe fruits, the raw dates are already considered a food. So why would he be arguing over here? So la'olam, I have to tell you no. Lav b'nishchani. Our Brisa is not talking about the dates of the male date trees. We are talking about regular raw dates. So you asked if it's a raw date, so if it can become tamei tumas ochlin, it should be considered a food for eruv tzumin. Inyan tumas ochlin shiny. There's a difference between what's considered a food for tuma and what's considered a food for eruv tzumin. Kedam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, even if something is not edible, hol ur uyan, the maskan al idea ur, you could make them sweet through cooking them, like chestnut, right? You can make the chestnut edible once you throw it into the fire. Achanami, the same thing is true with these raw dates. They're not edible right now, but still they can become tummy with Tumas Ochlin. Because you can cook them, and once you cook them, they would be edible. So therefore, they can become tummy Tumas Ochlin. But in regards to Eruv Yitzchumin, you're not going to be able to cook on Shabbos. So this Eruv Yitzchumin has to be something which you could eat. You can't eat this if it's only edible once it's cooked, and therefore you can't use it for a ruvei tchumen.
The best thing is hard-boiled eggs, Rabbi, right?
That's the best, sure.
Yeah.
Last. I think even better is a can of peanut butter.
But a can of
peanut butter lasts, and it make many meals out of it. That's the best.
You have to go open the can. You're not allowed to.
No, okay, so maybe not a can. Better a plastic bottle of peanut butter. Okay, hey, Chidmad Rabbi Yochanan. Why would Rabbi Yochanan say that certain foods become edible once you cook them? How did Tana, this one, then a brisa? Ashkedim amarim, bitter almonds. Katanim, if they're very small, chayavin, are obligated in meiser, because they're still edible. Gdolim, once they get big, these bitter almonds, turn, they're exempt from meiser because they're not edible. Or from mesukim, but the almonds that are sweet, gdolim, the big ones are chayavin, they're chayavin meiser. Katanim, the small ones, are pturim from meiser. Shem Rav Yossi Om Mishum Aviv, Zev is a liftor. Both the big almonds and the small almonds are exempt from meiser. Amulan, we said a different version. Zev is a chayiv. Both the big ones and the small ones are chayiv. Tamar Bilay, Bilay says Horer B'Chanina B'Tzipori could give you Omer Zev is a liftor. Rabbi Chanina Paskin, both of them are pater. Oman Damar Zev is a lachiv. The one who said both the big ones and the small ones are chayiv. L'may Chazi, if it's bitter almonds, what are you going to use it for if it's big or small? They're bitter. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan answered, no. Or since you can sweeten them once you roast them in the fire, therefore they're considered a food and they're already chayiv in Maisa. All right, Amar, we learned before. Buda Omer Buda says, Kor, the hearts of palm. Hareu Kesel called Varav as the status of wood. Elishnikov Podcast of Maisa. We can use it. You can use Meister monies to buy it. Hani Tanakama, it's the same view as the Tanakama. Amar Abaya said, Shalako Tzigno Ikubinai. The difference between them would be if you took the hearts of palm and you cooked it or you roasted it, fried it in oil. According to Yehuda, who said that it's wood, even after you cook it or roast it, it would still be Tamei Tumas Ochen. And according to the Tanakama, who said that it's considered wood, but it's not Tamei Tumas Ochlin. He didn't say it's wood. He just said it's not Tamei Tumas Ochlin. He's saying even if you would, he would be saying though, if you cook it, then it would be Tamei Tumas Ochlin. It becomes edible. Or he just said it's not edible. Once it's edible, it would be Tamei Tumas Ochlin. Ask of Rava. So Rava challenged. Nikul Mandama, would there be anyone who would say that Shlako, if you cook your hearts of palm, or Tigno, you roasted in oil your hearts of palm, lo, then it's not a food, it's not Tamei Tumas Ochlin. Or the skin of an animal, shilya, the amniotic sac of an animal. They do not become tamei if a rodent falls on them because they're not a food. However, or shishilko, but if you cook the skin in hot water, or shilya shakichavalea, or if you take an amniotic sac and you're intending to eat it, then metam and tumas ochlin. That's what I was referring to Baruch earlier. Right? An amniotic sac is a piece of meat. It's raw. But if you're planning to eat it, it is edible. It's like a meat tartare, then it's already considered a food. So if so, how could you say like Abaye that there's an opinion that says you take hearts of palm and cook them, and it's still not going to become tamei tumas ochlin? Once you cook the hearts of palm, it's certainly edible, and at that point it should be tamei tumas ochlin. Okay, so now El Amar Rabbah, Rabbah said, different explanation, Ikub and I, the difference between the two opinions, is what bracha you make on hearts of palm. Deitmar, we learned the bracha, Deitmar, we learned, kor, hearts of palm, Rebuta Omer, you say the bracha on it, of Boyer Pri Adama, Shmuel says, Shakon Yebid Varo. So the one that calls hearts of palm wood, is the one who would say, you make a bracha on it, of Shakon Yebid Varo. Rebuta Omer, Boyer Pri Adama, Uchlu, because it's a food, Shmuel Omer, Shakon Yebid Varo, Kim, which is so for Likasho, since ultimately it's going to become very hard, Loma Varchina Le, Boyer Pri Adama, you can't make the bracha, Boyer Pri Adama, you just make the bracha of Shahakol Mia Bidvaro.
What do we do?
Yeah. Amarle Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda once, Shirna, sharp one. Havasach Mastabra. It makes sense that that is the law that we make on hearts of palm, Bar Pi Adama. That's known because when you deal with radishes, So hopefully kashos, they also in the future are going to become hard. And nevertheless, mevarchin alei, the bracha on the radish is borei pri adama. But it's not right. It's known not to inchi adaita bugla. When people plant the radish, they're planning to eat the radish when it's soft. That's why that's considered the fruit. You're making it borei pri adama. But dikla, when they plant a date tree, not the inchi adaita bikur, they're not planting it for the sake of the hearts of palm. They're planting it for the sake of the fruits. Therefore, the hearts of palm should be a shakal yibidvara. I forgot the kilsa shmuel of Yuda, even the shmuel. Praise of Yuda. Hilchas akavasi the shmuel. Halachas like shmuel that you make on it, the bracha of shakal yibidvara. But they say that nowadays, since they plant some of these date trees just for the hearts of palm, maybe nowadays it's different. Gufu we learned before. Amrav Yuda, Marav Yuda, Sanim Rav, Kshos, Haps, Bechaziz, and raw grain. Ma'arvin Bahen, you can use them for the Eruv Tchumin. Umivarchin Aleim, Borei Pri Adama. The bracha is Borei Pri Adama. Shows Pekama, how many hops do you have to put down for it to be considered, you know, enough for two meals? And it's a spice, so it's enough to fill your hand. It's a handful with. Achanami, here too, Kamla Yad, enough to fill the hand. Chaziz Bekama, how much raw grain would be enough for two meals? Amrab Bar Tuvia, Bar Yitzchak, Amrab, Kamla is Lucidi Kari, enough for a bundle that the farmers make of the raw grain. You're allowed to make an Eruv Tumin with this grass called Kalya. Kalya Sakadaita? Really the grass? No, Yarka the Kalya, the vegetable of the Kalya. Kama, how much vegetable? Enough to fill your hand. Reb Yirmiya once went to the villages to check on his grain, on his produce. They asked him, can you make an Eruv with moist beans? He didn't have an answer. When he came to the base medrash, they said to him, after he asked them, this is what Rabbiane said, you can make an Eruv Tchumin with moist beans, with moist peas. The comma, how much? Again, enough to fill the hand with them. That's how much you have to put down, and then you have that as your spot where you begin your Tchum Shabbos. Rabbiane said, you're allowed to use raw beets. You can use that for the Eruv Tchumin. So, any is that so? Amar Rav Chizda, didn't Rav Chizda say, Silka Chaya, Kadol Gav Chaya? Raw beets kills a living person. The raw beets, the living beets, kills the living man. So, when I says no, it doesn't mean that all beets are a danger when they're raw. When is it a danger? It's bevashel v'lo bashel, when it's partially cooked. But if it's literally not cooked at all, then it is edible, and since it doesn't hurt a person, you can use it for Eruv Tchumin. You could have a different version. Amar Rav Amnuna, Rav Amnuna said, you can't make an Eruv Tchumin with raw beets. Amar Rav Chizda, because Rav Chizda used to say, Silka Chaya, the living beets, Katal Gabra Chaya, knock down, cut down the living person. So the Gemara said, what do you mean? But we see that people eat raw beets and they don't die. So the Gemara said, no, that's referring to things that are only partially cooked. When it's partially cooked, then it can kill a person, but when it's not cooked at all, then it is fine. Rav Chizda said, Tavshil shel pradim, borscht, when you have a pot of cooked beets, yaf lelev, it's good for the heart, tov le'naim, it's good for the eyes, koshkan levnei me'ayim, it's certainly good for the intestines. Abaya said, but that's only hot borscht. V'hud yasav abay tapi, it has to be that the pot was sitting at the very top of the oven, so it got all the heat. And you heard the pot going poo poo, it's boiling. Then the borscht is good for all of your body parts.